This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Horrible. It not bad in like a type of way of... Like a Liam Cohen introductory press conference bad, where you throw out a Duvall and I'm actually shaking my head. Just exactly what I expected, and I think that's the problem of when I listen to these now. You got nothing. There was nothing that came out of the entire press conference. I mean, I sat there and actually listened to the press conference and thought there was not one piece of information potentially that came out of this that I was locked into. And I thought, wow, this could actually be used for the show. This changes what the topics of the day are going to be. Now, there's a couple of small bites that we'll get into. We'll talk about the NFL report cards. There's a couple of things he commented on the quarterbacks. We'll take a look at it, but really, in its entirety in the press conference, he just did not give you a ton. There was definitely more in the sidebar. He hopped on with Browns Daily as well, with our very own Nathan Zagura. There's a little bit there, but again, overall, I think just a disappointing but expected outcome from a Kevin Stefanski press conference. I don't know. I wasn't expecting anything, but for some reason, every time I tune in and I try to listen to Kevin talk, I expect to get anything. I'm like, well, maybe today will be the day, right? Maybe we'll get that bombshell dropped when he announced he was changing over play callers. When he was giving up play calling, it was like, oh, he actually got something today. I'm stunned. I'm shocked. And of course, not today. Nothing there. Nothing groundbreaking. Before we get into what he had to say at the combine, I do want to talk about the NFLPA report cards that come out today, as they do pretty much every year. And specifically, the grade that we had on a head coach. If you haven't yet looked at them or seen the results, quick little synopsis. The Cleveland Browns did not do well. Very poorly on the report cards. If it was being graded on a bell curve, let's just say the Browns would be retaking 2024. They would not be doing well, okay? They would be re-enrolling for this season once again. They finished 30th overall out of 32 teams. Not good. Abysmal pretty much across the board outside of your weight room. Your weight room, you finished within the top 10. Everything else pretty much finished within the top 20. And that's being pretty generous. You got 19th in strength coaches, at 22 in ownership, and everything else is 26th or lower. The thing that bothers me, before we get into the idea of Kevin Stefanski here and his grade, the thing that really bothers me is when I go through, and I did the comparing of 2024 to 2025, and I was reading the synopses across the board, it's kind of the complacency, I guess. The unwillingness to change things that are very easy to change. Like, the whole point of an NFLPA report card is that when these things happen, the franchise has the ability to then go back and look at it and say, oh, we can be better here. We can make an adjustment to then better satisfy our players and the needs that they have. Right? It's a way for the players to anonymously get their voice heard about the things that are wrong with the team. And then you can go through and look at 2025 compared to 2024 and realize that, as I go through and look at the problems, for instance, treatment of families, that it's the exact same problems that were there last year of players' families having to meet in a tent in a parking lot in the winter in Cleveland after the games. Like, that's a problem. Again, that's as simple as, we'll just make sure we open up a room. There has to be some room. It doesn't even have to be all that nice. It's just not outside in the elements in the middle of Cleveland, right up against the lake. Yeah, that's not that great. Those are not the type of things that you want to hear. Locker room, you knew that was going to be a problem. That's been a problem. They didn't make any changes to that. But again, there's just things specifically to that point of looking at it and saying, okay, you could have just changed this. We could have just made the adjustment. And that was the entire point of rolling back on this, is that you go through and you make adjustments. And that's one that's just so simple to make. Now, the one that might not be so simple to make is when you look at the coaching grade that was handed out to Kevin Stefanski, which in all, if you took it for the letter value, you would say, oh, Kevin got a C. Not all that bad. Now, if you really broke it down and see where Kevin landed among the NFL, Kevin landed with a C as the 30th highest rated coach in the league, third to last. There were two coaches below him. Both of those coaches, by the way, ended up getting fired. So that's not a very good look. Both guys end up getting fired. And you're sitting here at 30, of course, fresh off a contract extension. I think part of that, and you have to break it down, I think, to a degree of, okay, you have to look at it for the realism of what it is in this year by itself. I don't expect Kevin Stefanski to get all that great of a coaching grade on a year where you go 3-14. If he would have came out and been the 10th ranked coach in the satisfactory from the players, as Myles Garrett has already requested a trade, I would have been stunned, bamboozled, blasphemed, everything in between. There'd be no way that you got there. 30 sounds about right. When you're the second team picking in the draft and you're the third worst head coach, yeah, it about adds up to where you land there. So you can sit there. It makes sense. Kevin Stefanski near the bottom. The Browns near the bottom right now because that's just what you expect to get to. Again, as you struggle and you can't win games, that's reflective of your head coach. Players feel that's reflective of their head coach, I'm sure. And you get a low grade for it. The thing that actually draws a problem, though, is when you go back and you look at last year then, and you can compare these two things, and Kevin Stefanski basically had the same grade last year. He's the 28th rated coach in the NFL in a year where they played well, right? The 2024, a reflective of the 23 season, so you are coming off of a playoff win. Or a playoff appearance, excuse me, not a win. You're coming off of an appearance. You figured things out, managed to make it work with Joe Flacco, and made the season not a complete failure, and you still ended up near the bottom. That's where I think you draw the issue of, okay, it's now not having just worked in 1 year, but now we have a problem in back-to-back years where you just don't have faith in Kevin Stefanski. And if the players aren't going to have faith in him, then I'm going to sit there and struggle to find that faith as well. But as I look at the report card, I just don't know how much stock entirely I put into it. I think when you add in last year, it adds a wrinkle. But if I'm looking at it individually from this year, I kind of expect players to be disappointed. And with the handling of Deshaun Watson and everything went down, and I mean, Jason Lloyd of The Athletic pretty much laid it out in the article that he wrote about a month back, detailing the fact that, yeah, players weren't happy with the way that you handled Deshaun, that you continued to double, triple down in your handling of Deshaun. I expect players to be upset. I just, from a coaching standpoint, from what does this guy do in order to help us win football games, I don't know how much stock I'm putting in a report card going into this year or coming out of this year, and which was just completely abysmal. It's kind of exactly what I expected. And if that's the case, if you're viewing him as a C head coach, it very much differs from the two-time coach of the year that we've been sold and we've been told is sitting there. I just don't know that I'm overreacting and freaking out about the idea that Kevin Stefanski just didn't rate highly among his players. Again, I don't think anybody was happy in the way that season went down. Kevin Stefanski was criticized heavily. I expect Kevin Stefanski to be criticized heavily. The interesting part goes in, though, and where I think I have to play devil's advocate in my own line of thinking, is that if Kevin Stefanski is sitting there rated as a C, 30th out of 32, you would think that Jimmy Haslam in ownership probably ranks right there among them. Because if you're going to bring in Deshaun, and Deshaun's going to be part of the problem, which I think likely contributes a lot to what Kevin's ranking would be, you would think the ownership group then that also brought in Deshaun Watson would be attributed into that as well. And the ownership for the Browns rated a C+ and 22nd out of 32 teams. Now, either the players felt pretty evenly that blame was dispersed and across the board, because a C and a C+ is...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
And all that far apart, either they thought they were giving a fair ranking and all of the owners are garbage, or Jimmy Haslam's not as bad as maybe the national media will tell you, or the combination there, and that this ranking for Kevin Stefanski might solely be based on the way that he handled the team this year. It might relate back further to Kevin. I mean, throw out the idea that the way the Browns operate on business is that we kind of assume Kevin is a mastermind offensive guru guy and is someone who has faith in Kevin Stefanski to continue to be that. I say this, but we've been sold the idea that Kevin is sort of the mastermind behind the plan. He was the guy that was brought in as the head coach, as the former play caller. You run, quote-unquote, his offense, and things work out very well in a couple of seasons, much better than they had previously. I mean, isn't it possible with how tight they keep things to the chest and how tight-lipped they are? Kevin Stefanski is really not the mastermind behind the plan here. That realistically, the offense could have just been set up so well that it was difficult to fail. And Alex Van Pelt was a key part to the offense, and Bill Callahan was a key part to holding that offense together. Between the offensive line and your offensive coordinator, that things were just swimming perfectly fine, and Kevin was kind of floating on top of it, just calling plays within the offense. Again, and not even saying that I necessarily believe it down to the core, but if you don't consider it as a possibility, especially following a 30 out of 32 ranking for a head coach, I think that you're just throwing it out and not actually giving it the time of day in the way that you should be. A couple of things attached to Kevin's ranking, by the way. 67% of Browns players felt their head coach was efficient with their time, which is a rank of 29 of 32. And players feel Kevin Stefanski is moderately receptive to locker room feedback on the team's needs, which ranked 30 out of 32. Two pretty much bottom of the barrel rankings. Receptive to feedback, moderately. I'm thinking of this. How you get these, I'm sure, is one of the surveys that's like, rate this on a scale of 1 to 5 on how much you agree, right? With 1 being severely disagree and 5 being very much severely agree. And you find in the middle is sort of the, either way, I'm in between on it, right? I haven't made up my mind. I don't swing one way or the other, or slightly agree. The moderately receptive feels like the middle answer there, where players are like, yeah, I might have came to him and suggested something, and he kind of brushed me off. Another time I came and suggested something, maybe less, and he kind of listened to it. He made it seem like he was listening to it, and he took it into account in the offense. 50-50 doesn't seem that great. Landing in the middle of that conversation doesn't feel incredible. And you were supposed to be not necessarily the football guy, win over the locker room, but calm, collected, and everybody sort of turning you as a collected leader. 30th head coach out of 32 is not selling that to me. 216-474-0092. Are you putting any stock in Kevin Stefanski's report guard grade from today? And should last year's grade maybe have a little bit of been a warning sign potentially? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, VLINEC. Jake, so we can get social media reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot coming up later on in the show, including 740. We go back to our quarterback big board. We add Lions backup, Hendon Hooker, to the list. We'll have Lance Reisling, Cleveland.com. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. Get a grips at 9 and a whole lot more further on the show. A lot of good stuff to get to, but right now, 216-474-0092. Are you putting any stock into Kevin Stefanski's report card grade and maybe looking at last year as a potential hindsight's 2020 kind of warning sign? And sure, postseason doesn't go the way you want to, playoffs fall short, but you got a team to the playoffs that really had no business being there. After Deshaun got hurt, your quarterback was out of there, and you had to pick a guy up off the streets and Joe Flacco to come play quarterback for you, yeah, like I feel the rating would be pretty good, and Kevin Stefanski ranked 28th. 28th overall in a year where you got all of that done. And now when you combo it together, it's almost as if I think you asked the question of whether or not Stefanski's grade last year. It almost should have been a warning sign of what was to come. And not that you should have been expecting the Browns to go 3-14, but maybe that there was a little trouble in paradise. Maybe that if the players are sitting there not giving you a very high ranking on a year where you defied the odds, that things weren't just as nice as we thought they were going to be, and it didn't just all come down to, okay, well, you put out a better product this year, right? Kevin, what was the conversation leading up to the year? Deshaun makes it work. He plays like an average quarterback, and the Browns are a playoff team and playing perfectly fine. It seems to me that if you're getting ranked as the 28th best head coach by the players playing for your team, and they're giving you a poor grade, that it just felt like you were farther off. This team was farther off, and that there was a coaching problem to begin with, and potentially a culture problem. Right? And I know we don't love that word. Culture is a word that gets thrown around a lot. But significant problems with how the Browns were operating. Because you should not be just sitting that far and that below everyone else as your team is succeeding. That is essentially telling you that this team, barring what you were putting in, barring the work that you had, they felt that it was going better for them. And they were the reason that they were getting there, not because of the system you had in place, not because of what you were doing and the changes that you made to the team, the culture you built, but because they felt they earned their way there. If they felt you were the one making the massive difference, well, then you would have had a higher ranking. You would have been up higher. And I think it's something to consider as a potential, almost a scare as you search for a quarterback, not just for 2025, but a quarterback of your future. If I look at Kevin Stefanski and ask the question about, okay, well, if nobody really believed in the plan you were putting forth, even with Deshaun Watson in the building and everything you were doing there, is I turned you and you're supposed to be quarterback guru? You're supposed to be the guy that makes it work, and you made Kirk Cousins look really good, and you've made Jacoby Brissett's. I was going to throw DTR in there. He doesn't need to make DTR look good. DTR never looked good, but he made it work with quarterbacks like Jacoby Brissett, at times with a Deshaun Watson. I mean, Joe Flacco, Kirk Cousins, the names that Kevin Stefanski has had success with, nobody's putting up and retiring their jerseys in Raptors, that's for sure. There's no conversation to that. They're not going into a Hall of Fame or a Ring of Honor. So yes, you've had success with them, but I think it draws into question that if you have no belief, if even your own players sitting there in back-to-back years with very varying results don't believe in you, as a fan, why should I be sitting there believing in you as well to get things turned around, have things work out, and for you to develop my quarterback and get him on pace? I think it only adds to the dysfunctionality of the Browns as they stand right now. 216-474-0092. Your thoughts on Kevin Stefanski's report card grade and whether or not last year should have been a warning sign. Let's go out to the phones. Let's talk to Doug's in Parma. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. So when I look at this, the easy thing to point to is, like, I'm sure a majority of players probably on the defense, considering they were ranked so highly last year, to this year and seeing them fall back, you could probably point to more players than we like to think were off the Watson train last year. And they probably said that early on in training camp, and there was no movement, no moves made to go out and get someone to compete with them. Really compete with Deshaun Watson, and they just threw him out there because they had such a high price tag. That probably resonated with a lot of players that were coming up on their prime or towards the end of their prime, where they were saying, why am I going to go out there and compete for this guy when I'm watching him in practice and I see how bad he is, and you paid him all this money for him to go out there and basically do nothing? So I think that's a big portion of it, why he actually dropped even further from where he was last year or this year. But I think another big thing, and this is coming from, like, if we remove sports and football away from it and everything like that, and we just got down to the basic level of, like, being a man and talking to other men, I think I have even from me just being at, like, a work, like, function or working with someone, if, you know, your producer or my boss came up to me and never really gave me a straight answer and only gave me the Belichick answer, like, yeah, we could look at this. I'm going to go ahead and take a look at this, but, you know, maybe we'll just keep going this way or we'll go this way. It was never a straight answer, and especially in his press, which is like, we could all see it.
Yep.
I think he does that a lot with his players. And I think when you have three guys on your staff, and I'm going to point to Kevin, who's obviously the head coach, and then you bring in someone like Vrabel, who's very outspoken, very alpha male, just went to the Patriots, and then you have Jim Schwartz, I think there was some, you know, like tug of war going on where probably a lot of the defensive players were saying, hey, you know, we're living up to our end. You're putting us in positions your offense, this is you, you're an offensive coach, you put are putting us in a position not to do our job as well because you're burning us out. I mean, when you can go out there and you're just committing, you know, when you're going out there and you're committing all these basic penalties that you shouldn't be doing, and they're on offense, and then you have them coming back out on defense after, what, 3 or 4 plays?
Yeah, Doug, I'm right there with you. I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Obviously, I don't know the way that Kevin necessarily talks to his players, but if you draw the comparison from where he's at in his press conferences and how he addresses us, I don't think it's a very far-off thought to think, oh, here's also how he then probably talks to his players. They keep things almost, you know, tight-lipped to them as well. And I think as an individual, anybody can relate to that thought that, yeah, if that's the way you're being treated, if that's the way these conversations are going, players were unhappy. And I can almost guarantee you, and this is not any kind of report coming out of me, this is genuinely my thought and my assumption, is that players were going into last year with a very negative mindset, especially after seeing the way that week one went down, but probably before then thinking, we're really rolling back with Deshaun again. We've changed everything that just worked last year to try to make it work with Deshaun when clearly this team could make it work without him. And he hasn't shown us any reason, any actual foolproof in front of my face, hard evidence that he's going to play at a even decent level as a quarterback. I mean, we're holding on to moments, like a second half from a game, thinking, well, here's what he could be. No, realistically, I mean, he started taking the short passes, let his players work, and that's what happened in the second half of that Ravens game. It wasn't like he ultimately just turned into an elite quarterback. I don't think it's far off, though, to think that, yeah, that was probably the mentality around the locker room, especially why you dropped from a 28 to a 30. I think going from 11 wins to 3 wins definitely pairs into that as well. Let's go back out to the phones. Paul's in Westlake. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
We're doing well. What do you got, man?
All right. You know, I'll be honest. I really don't put too much stock into, you know, the report card, you know, because, you know, if you look at other, you know, head coaches, you know, you got Mike McDaniels in Miami. He's probably around an A. I think he was. And you got Andy Reid. He's, you know, an A. But then you compare Stefanski, who's at, you know, what was it, a C, C minus?
C,
but
yeah.
I think what it really comes down to is, you know, are they actually winning? And obviously we're not. But then, you know, when I guess the point I'm trying to get to is, are players going to get here and come here if, you know, if we're winning? But, you know, we're not. And then it really goes to our salary cap. And, you know, we're in salary cap hell, and no players are going to come here. But then, you know, I look back at Washington when they had Snyder and Rivera, and their grades were probably in an F, but they had, an enormous amount of salary cap, and they had tons of players going there. So, you know, I guess I really just don't put too much stock into his grade. You know, he might not, like you said, we don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. But, you know, I just don't know I just really don't know what to put into it. So, yeah. I'll hang up and, you know.
Yeah, Paul, I appreciate the call. I just, it's weird because you can look up and down the list and sort of where you end up if you're certain spots. And I think there's a lot of things you could probably argue against this. The Patriots ended up with a B+. They fired Gerard Mayo. And the thought process was that he never really had that locker room entirely behind him. Right? You can go through and look at some of the head coaches who did not have successful seasons and ended up getting fired at the end of the day anyway. And their grades were higher. It's just in a way more, I think, aiming towards Kevin Stefanski than maybe the opposite way around. Like a Harbaugh finished at a B, just 2 spots ahead. John Harbaugh, obviously, for the Ravens, not Jim. Jim, I think, fared pretty well. He had a B+. But John Harbaugh finished as a B, only two spots ahead of Stefanski, and that team, I mean, he's been there forever, and that team played well. They were in a spot to compete against Buffalo for a chance to face Kansas City. Now, is a downgrade from where they were, but it's kind of where you end up. I also wonder, I don't have the exact of when these things are handed out and answered, but I would have to think the timing of things also plays into it. And the timing of everything that went down with the Browns definitely played into it. You had an interesting spot between the end of the season where, yeah, this thing's bad, but Miles is just towing the line of throwing it off the rails. And I'm sure that rubs some people the wrong way, too. 216-474-0092. We'll get to your final thoughts on the grades for Kevin Stefanski and his report card as well. Coming up here in about 5 minutes, Browns quarterback big board. We add Hendon Hooker back up for the Detroit Lions to the list. And we'll have Lance Risen as well coming up in about 25 minutes. A lot still to get to. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. Add here, because it was one that got mentioned and sort of somebody threw out. It was a name that I already had on the list as well. It's somebody I wanted to look at because, I mean, if we're throwing Joe Milton on the list, and I have Joe Milton ranked very highly on the Browns quarterback big board, we have him all the way up sitting at 10. If we're going to consider Joe Milton, you also sort of have to consider Hendon Hooker. Because Hooker, again, a former third-round pick, the 68th pick in the draft in 2023 by the Lions, and obviously no reason for them to have to use him. They've been going strong with Jared Goff. But a guy that's sitting there and got relatively good buzz throughout the draft, I feel like, I went in 2023 leading up to it, I feel like there was definitely talks about just sort of where he was, slightly behind. I don't think anybody really considered him as a bona fide starter in the league or anything even close to that. But he was definitely somebody that you looked at and thought, okay, maybe there's a little potential here. And if the Lions have been going strong with the idea that if Jared Goff did get hurt, that he would be there behind them and to help you out. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good piece of evidence that there might be a little something there. That he could bring you a little of anything. And the interesting point that we've gotten to now on the board is we add some names that people aren't necessarily going to jump out of their seats for. Right? We've gotten past the Sam Darnolds, the Kirk Cousins, the Matt Staffords, and you're on to names that aren't as easily exciting. The interesting part to me is that as I look at this team and I try to find what the solution is, I always come back to the same idea that I need a long-term answer. I need somebody that's going to be here and be a potential fix in the long term. Even if he's not starting right now, I would love the idea of having a guy that I can paint as the future of the franchise. And with a lot of young guys that get burned early, for a Zach Wilson, for example, you look at him and you go, okay, I've seen enough of Zach Wilson to sit there and say absolutely not. But when you add in a Joe Milton, when you add in a Hendon Hooker with very limited opportunities, I think almost the idea of not having seen them is viewed as a positive in my books, because that still means that there's potential untapped there. And if we're talking third round pick, I mean, I got people talking in the world about Will Howard, who could very well be a third round pick. So I don't think it's fair if anybody's coming out and saying, oh, Hendon Hooker, he's got nothing. Or Joe Milton, how are you going to put him that high on your board? Milton obviously drafted later, but it's just sort of the idea of the unknown. Hooker's got, I think, even less sort of a track record to go off of as we talk about what he has and the show for. Like, Milton has a full game where he played against the bench of the Buffalo Bills, but he looked good. He almost 250 yards, completed most of his passes, threw a touchdown, ran a touchdown. Hendon Hooker has thrown a whopping 9 passes in his NFL career. Across 3 games all last year, and he's accumulated 62 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. There's just nothing there. There's nothing there to go off of. I have no evidence to tell you that Hendon Hooker is going to be good or bad. I have his college tape to work off of. I can tell you the things that people said about him in college. I can work off what I saw him do at Tennessee. But that's about it. Those are really the only things that I have to point to as, okay, this is a reason why Hendon Hooker could be good. You could read some of the things about him. He is a quick release, a live arm, tight spiral, delivers a good football, good accuracy on short throws, even on the move side to side. He's got the ability to go downfield. And then you have the negatives, which I think sloppy mechanics, panic throws, doesn't do well under pressure. It also dealt with, you talk about the Lions and having drafted him. Another reason that I think you talk about Hendon Hooker is sort of a guy that slipped in the draft. I don't know that he even necessarily slipped, but going down to the third round and being drafted where he was with the idea that he had torn his ACL. So he had to take time to recover from that. In his last season in college, he tore his ACL, so you knew you weren't going to be getting him. So that definitely, I don't think guys are eager to draft quarterbacks with a torn ACL and then especially to do it early. So it definitely was not a help either. I think he's a guy who could probably work in a Kevin Stefanski offense. I can tell you he's definitely a guy that I think that Jimmy Haslam would be very happy with. Former Tennessee guy, that might be enough right there. The Tennessee connection might be enough of a sell for them to be excited and want to go after him. The thing that sort of comes as a roadblock is that there's no reason for the Lions to really give him up. I mean, you could offer him something. If you throw him a third or a fourth round pick as a backup quarterback, that might be enough to get him off of their hands. Like, yeah, we'll just acquire extra draft capital. We can draft somebody this year or next year to be Goff's backup or just go sign somebody for the cheap. Sure, you could. I just think part of that is, again, if they feel comfortable about where they're at, you have to talk about value to give up to then go and get somebody. And are you comfortable if you have to give up a third round pick in order to get Hendon Hooker? He's drafted in the third round, hasn't done much, and you have to go get him. If you have to give the equivalent, is that worth it to you? Or are you just better off taking the stab? I would probably say that why not just take the stab in the draft at this point? Right? Why not just use, if you're going to use that third round pick on a quarterback, why not just actually use it to draft one of the quarterbacks in the third round? Feels like it's the exact same thing to me because I have no real evidence to say that Hendon Hooker is going to be great in the NFL. I have 9 thrown passes. And I can get a couple years younger. I can get a quarterback that's coming out right now and has the same promise that Hendon Hooker has. I think that, for me, is probably the major roadblock. I don't look at Hendon Hooker as a sort of major player in the game of guys that I'm dying to go out and get. But do I like him more than, again, like a Zach Wilson? Yeah, by a considerable amount, actually. I like him more than a lot of the veterans and a lot of the young veterans who've had run. Again, because the idea that I can go and get somebody and acquire a player that is not yet shown what they have is the biggest thing for me. That's why Hendon Hooker is going to rise up this board and fall in the spot that he does. Because to me, it's better than a lot of what can be thrown out. And better than a lot of the cases that I look at the quarterbacks coming out this year even. And I talk about, well, maybe you could get a guy in the third round. I'm scared that the quarterbacks I see in the third round are not guys that I like. Right, there's guys down there that are in that sort of range that I don't feel confident in. Again, if it's a Will Howard, I feel better about a Will Howard. I feel better about a Jalen Milroe, definitely. I would much rather have guys like that. But if I'm drafting a guy later in this draft, again, we know what the quarterback class has been painted as. It is a weak quarterback class overall, despite what Kevin Stefanski would tell you today. That he blatantly lies through his teeth and tells you that it's a he feels like it's a good quarterback class. Oh, yeah, in a class where you're likely going to draft a quarterback, I think that's probably an okay response. That's probably a warranted response. Yeah, no, Can you imagine that? No, I don't really feel great about this quarterback class. Don't really like it. By the way, we're taking one at two. Not a great combination of things to say. But overall, what we know about it, I don't know that I like the options that are there. I'm probably going to take my shot. I'm going to take my chances at going Hendon Hooker over a lot of the guys that might be left in the third round, but it's very dependent. It's very dependent on what could be. And you're still taking a gamble either way. I just like if I'm going to get a veteran, if I'm going to get a guy who right now is, what, 27 years old in Hendon Hooker? 27 years old, just turned 27. This will be his age 27 season. If I'm going to get a 27-year-old, I would like to know that I'm at least getting a finished product in a way. Like, a not even finished product, but a product of, I know somewhat what you're going to provide for me. Right? 27 is not anything just to throw out there. Because if you're talking about guys across the league right now and saying, well, 27's still young. Okay, yeah, Daniel Jones is also 27. He'll be 28. I know what Daniel Jones brings me. I know what the real possibility of having him on the football field is. Hendon Hooker is a complete question mark. I don't even know if he ever fully recovered from his ACL. I really don't. 9 passes in the NFL is not enough of a sell to me. I don't think it'd be enough of a sell to the Browns fans. That's the other thing. If I'm going, even if I give you Joe Milton, you're like, well, he had that one game. Maybe you could sell him as a starter and then he goes out and wins the job. There might be a little bit of excitement to that. Hendon Hooker, I feel like, is a lot harder to sell to the casual average fan of you're going to be excited. And it's definitely not a sell to Myles Garrett. If you're looking for a quarterback that could turn this franchise around, Hendon Hooker is not going to be the sell to Myles. That's going to be one of the difficult parts of it. So ultimately, as we take a look where Hendon Hooker falls, he drops in a nice little spot. He drops in at 16, ahead of a lot of the veteran quarterbacks that he didn't like. The rookie quarterbacks he sort of falls ahead of are Quinn Ewers or Kyle McCord, and then everybody else that's well below them. But yeah, you get ahead of even a Jimmy G, a Jacoby Brissett. Jimmy G was sort of the one I toyed back and forth with. I think that I have him sort of in that range of what you could be, obviously, with the younger and a little bit more upside. You know what the cap is for Jimmy. But yeah, 16 for Hendon Hooker, just behind Derek Carr, and I'd rather still pay the $50 million for Stafford than to get Hooker, probably. That's just me. If you want to check out the entire big board, at Volnick Jake, V-O-L-I-N-E-C Jake, that'll be up in just a minute. Looking for your suggestions as well as quarterbacks to still add. We still have a few spots left, and if you guys want to hear somebody, a good chance that we can still add them onto the board and see where they fall. Coming up in about 5 minutes, Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, joins us with the latest ahead of the Combine. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.